Welcome to the Jazz Podcast. Today we're talking to Gaz Hughes about his new album, Beboptical Illusion, which is out now. But before we start the interview, let's have a quick listen to his track, Concord. Gaz Hughes, welcome to the Jazz Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have to say I've been checking out your podcast and because I'm into podcasts at the moment and they're great. But you've got me saying Jazz Podcast.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it started. I think it was just it was easy to add more A's to the word jazz, you know. There's a bit of me that's very Alan Partridge that I try to keep repressed. But it's kind of coming out more and more as I get older. But thanks for listening to the show. It makes me
it's great.
That's very kind of you. I think we're on episode. Is this about episode 210 or 11 or something? It's quite.
I've been checking loads. I liked the SCOE one that you did. I thought that was lovely.
Oh, loved that guy. He was so lovely. He was like 10 minutes early to the interview,
right?
And John Scofield, and then he's like eating kettle chips and. He's just like sitting on the floor in his pajamas. He looks so relaxed. It was incredible. And I just emailed him. His email's on his website. Just sent him a message being like, fancy a chat? And he was like, yeah, great, man. Couldn't believe it. So easy. No, not even a management team or, you know, some artists, it can be very hard to track them down. But if you ever need a favor from John Scofield, I tried to get him on my next album afterwards. I was like, hey, Johnny, you're not doing anything this weekend, right? It didn't work, but there you go.
I know. He's a hero of mine. When I started getting into jazz, Maggie, I was learning guitar at the same time that I started drums. And my guitar teacher was a jazz guitarist and mega into John Scofield. And I think there was... maybe a Modesky Martin Wood album with him on it. I've still got it on my cassette player.
Oh, wow.
My 80s cassette player. I've still got the same cassette in it, you know. And so grew up listening to all of that kind of stuff and all of that with Steve Swallow and Bill Stewart and, you know, great music.
What I think about John is actually something that I read on your website this morning, which is about be yourself because everybody else is taken, the Oscar Wilde quote. I was reading the inspiration behind your album and that being a big part of it, but that's a big part of John's playing as well, isn't it? It doesn't sound like a conventional jazz guitar at all. He's just him in the world playing how he wants.
I just don't know how somebody is that original, you know, that different. There's literally nobody that sounds like him or I can't, you know, where he, you know, like, so one of my favorite things when I'm listening to like, I don't know, musicians that I really admire, is finding out what that, you know, who inspired them, you know, and I've discovered that if you listen to the people that inspired them, you can kind of understand where it fits in the, you know, the history of that music. And
yeah.
And then you start to notice, oh, you know, like, so like Bill Stewart, for example, you know, understanding that he's a massive Jack DeJohnette fan.
And, yeah.
Roy Haynes fan. And then you start listening and you're like, oh, right, I understand why he's like he is. But I just don't get it with John Scofield. Like, he just came out of the box sounding like that. Like, that's, yeah, that's not fair on everybody else.
Completely agree. Man, so tell us about your new album, Gaz. Let's get to it. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about the music.
Okay, well, so this is my third album. It's called Beboptical Illusion. We the first album was an Art Blakey kind of treat, really. And then we were touring in 2020 and it all came crashing down. We got halfway through the tour and, you know, that was that. It was a sextet and it was quite a big tour. It was 32 dates.
Wow, that's amazing. That's huge.
But UK dates. And yeah, so it all came crashing down. And during lockdown, I was going a bit mad, as everybody else was, and I just needed to do some playing. So I got the rhythm section together from that and we recorded an album called Beboperation. And it was one of Andre's tunes, the piano player, Beboperation. And we just thought it was a hilarious title. So we named this album Beboptical Illusion. And I've got a title for the next album, which is Nuclear Bebopalypse.
Oh, mate, that's incredible. Oh, that's incredible. That's, yeah, well played, sir.
But I'm not really into those pretentious kind of, you know, titles. So that made us all laugh. So we stuck with that. But yeah, we've been playing together. This is our third album, you know, as the same rhythm section, and it's really coming together. We sound like a trio.
Who are your rhythm section? This album.
Pardon?
Tell us who the other two are.
It's Andre Baranek, a fantastic piano player in the Northwest, and Ed Harrison, a double bassist, and myself. These guys are easily the busiest guys around the Northwest, the first call for lots of people, and they're lovely guys, and they're great to be stuck in a car with on the M6 and the M25 and the, you know, and every other M that there is. They're just such a good laugh.
That's a big part of it. You got to want to spend time with these people.
Yeah, and they're really great. I've given them free rein to tell me when they think something's terrible. And, you know, even though it's my name and my album, you know, I like the collaboration and I like being pushed by the other guys.
Yeah.
This new album's quite different because it's mostly my own tunes. I kind of realised that, well, there's no point playing Autumn Leaves, you know, because you're not going to play it any better than anybody else has done it. And it's been done. And so I said to the guys, because I'm quite good at organising tours and all that stuff, I said, let's do the Blakey thing. You guys write the tunes and I'll just organise everything and get it all sorted. So I organised everything and no one wrote any tunes.
Amazing. You're like, all right, guys, what have you got? Show me your chops.
So I kind of felt pushed into a corner to write some stuff. And I did. And it actually sounded really good. I've realised that I've spent so long behind the drums listening to what everybody else is doing. And I've heard all the Charlie Parker licks. I've heard the Coltrane licks. I've heard all the chord progressions. You know, it's just a matter of labelling what they are and associating that sound with the label. And so I just wrote some tunes. I thought, I'm going to write a blues today. I'm going to write a ballad and just, you know, began writing tunes. And some came quite easy. Some were like really, really quick. And some took ages and I had to rewrite. The thing that I wanted was I wanted the songs to be well, the tunes to be really memorable, like the bebop stuff. You know, you can sing the heads back straight away. You know, and there's something interesting going on, whether it's a repetitive bass line or you know, it's something that nods back to that kind of Blue Note, kind of bop, hard bop kind of vibe. Yeah, and I think that's a, I think that's making it accessible like that is really good for the listeners. I think music has to be accessible in some way.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guests on lately who have been banging that drum, if you don't mind me saying, of like music's got to be like entertaining. You got to get people out to watch it. You know, people had a lot of guests on saying you've got to be able to dance to it. You know, jazz was always something people could move to. You've got to keep that feeling, which none of my music does. So it's quite interesting to talk to people who do that and be like, oh, yeah, I remember now. You know,
yeah, I played quite a lot of stuff. I played quite a lot of free stuff in the past when I played with other people. But the thing that I like about really avant-garde music is when it keeps on coming back to something, mm-hmm. You know, whether it's something that is in time or something that has a set of chords or something, you know, but it's also so free that it can go out and come back. And I think, for me, I'm drawn to things like that, that I think it makes like the really crazy stuff even more crazy, and having that kind of juxtaposition, you know, I really like, you know, I listen to quite a lot of music. I like a lot of stuff without drums, you know, lots of stuff without drums. I'm a big non-drummer, you know.
Did you ever hear the Kenny Wheeler album, What Now? Which is with Chris Potter on tenor sax and Dave Holland on bass, John Taylor on piano. There's no drums on that album. My housemate John Ormston used to play along to it. And it made me so jealous because he'd find these albums without drums on and then just be like, I'm the drummer now. Could hear him in his room doing it. He used to annoy me because it sounded so fun. Tell me, what is it about drumless music that you enjoy?
I just don't see myself as a drummer. I just play the drums. I don't think of myself as a drummer.
Yeah.
I like music. I'm really not a drummer's drummer. I mean, I've got loads of drumming chops and loads of vocabulary and things, but I don't listen to albums because I want to hear the drummer as such.
Right.
So it doesn't bother me if it's on there. I mean, I love, you know, if Philly Joe Jones is on the kit, you know, I can sit there all day and listen to him or, you know, any of them, but there's lots of folk music that I love that has no drums on.
Yeah.
It's a great Martin Simpson album I've been listening to recently, Murmurs. That's fantastic. And it's like squeeze box, fiddle and guitar and, you know, some vocals. And that's
That sounds great.
Yeah. But no, I don't see myself as a drummer. That's it.
Do you have a favourite drummer? Is there one in history who inspired you to be like, this is it, this is for me?
You know what it is? I like, with music, I like it. There's certain criteria that no matter what style it is, if it fits the criteria, then I'm in. And it has to have some kind of energy or a vibe, and it has to have some interaction. And if it has those two things, then, you know, I think it's brilliant. You know, it doesn't really matter what the style is, you know. But in terms of jazz stuff, you know, when you hear like football, I'm not a football fan, but they, you know, you hear people talking about the fantasy football teams, who would they put on the team?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think if you had, in terms of a drummer, if you took a limb from each person, you know, that kind of thing. I think if you had like
a limb from each, never heard that before. That's great.
Yeah. To make the ultimate drummer. If you had like Max Roach's ability to form a solo, and if you had Philly Joe Jones's use of the rudiments around the kit, maybe Jimmy Cobb's ride cymbal playing, because how does he do that? You know, how does he play the ride like that and everyone knows who it is? You know, it's just phenomenal. And maybe Art Blakey's use of dynamics. You know, if you had that, then that's I don't understand. You know, I don't think there's anybody else that would, you know, there'd be no point in playing the drums, would there, if that guy existed, you know? Yeah. So no, I like lots of different things. I like lots of different things about drummers. I really like the idea that it's the drummer's band, because it is really.
Yeah.
I heard a Pat Metheny interview, he was saying that, but loads of people have told me that for ages, that, you know, really it's the drummer that's the conductor, you know. Mm. And I like having the trust in the musicians that, you know, if I feel that I'm going to bring it down or pull it back slightly or push it forward or use any of those things, then they trust me enough that they'll stick to their guns and, you know, and let me do those things and create tension or, I don't have one favorite. There's so many. I kind of feel there's so much music to explore. Then I can't just listen to the same person over and over again. You know.
Yeah, I think as musicians, it doesn't work either. You kind of get to a point where you just need new inspiration. We're like plants, yeah. You know, just like wilt with the same sort of two or three things on all the time, or the same couple of people. Yeah. So where did you record your album?
Well, this one, a friend of mine is a guitarist. We've been friends since, well, we had the same guitar teacher when I met him when I was about 10 or 11. Dave Speakman, he's got a studio in Middlewich near me. So he's literally a mile down the road. And
oh, yeah. I was going to say to you, this is the closest geographically I've ever been to someone and done a Zoom interview.
I didn't realise you were local to me.
When you said Middlewich, I was like, oh, geez, it's like 8 minutes drive from here. Yeah,
yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, so you're telling me about the guitar teacher and the album recording.
Oh, yeah, so we had the same guitar teacher. So my oldest kind of musical friend, he has his own studio, and it's lovely. He you know, he's a real gear nut, you know, as you are as a guitarist, you know, but he's really gotten into his recording, and his studio is great. He's got a lovely grand piano, which he got for free because he's jammy.
Oh, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah, a big 7-foot grand piano. It's lovely.
Wow. All right.
And he's got all the things with buttons and lights on, of which I know nothing.
Yeah.
I call it the dark arts because I kind of spend enough on drums and rooms and all sorts. There's no way I want to get into that thing of, oh, I'll buy a mic and then a preamp and then I'll get a better computer and then I'll buy more, you know.
Bigger preamp,
things that do lights, you know.
Yeah.
Then there'd be no holidays or new cars for a while then.
No, you know, it never ends. You've got to draw the line yourself and be like, that's the end. I'm not going to specialize in this because I got friends who run their own studios at home. Rob Buckland has an amazing home studio, and I admire so much how much he's learned about engineering and mixing and mastering. But I just cannot, like, even entertain the idea of, like, how many years of knowledge it's going to require to, like, learn that is a bit intimidating, you know.
Well, as well, I mean, I think you message, you've got a little boy or girl, or
little girl. Yeah,
I've got two little kids, and I just feel that time is so stretched. You know, like every spare moment I've got, I'm thinking about the, you know, writing some new tunes or learning some tunes for a gig or
practicing,
or, you know, I just don't feel if we could pause time every day for a couple of hours, then maybe I'd have another couple of hours to learn about recording and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I got a rehearsal tomorrow. So I've, like, dug the bass clarinet out here just in desperation that I might actually be able to form an embouchure by tomorrow afternoon. But clinging on, that's life support, you know. Right, keep going. I'm loving this. We're getting there. Album recording.
Yeah, so we recorded it in
his house.
No, he's got a premises.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a proper studio. It's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? In Middlewich?
Middlewich, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. All right.
We recorded it there. We had 2 days, but we did most of it in a day, to be honest. The second day, the first day, we were just kind of setting up, and we had a blast through the tunes. But you know, by the time you've set up and everything, the day's almost gone. And then we just came in and nailed most of it on the second day. And yeah. We did a couple of versions of each. So I ended up we did some extra tunes as well that I've held back. We did some standards that are our own arrangements of standards, but I didn't want that to be on the album. We just had some spare time on the second day, and
oh, wow. We
videoed a bit of it as well, and it sounds really good. We got a great guy, Pete Mayer, to master it, and Pete's unbelievable. He does all the big boys, you know, like when you look on his website, it's everyone from like U2 to Coldplay to everyone that's ever been really successful. He's mastered it. And I tell you what, we got the masters back from him, and it just sounded completely different. I don't know if he's got a magic wand or what he does, you know.
I hope there's like a U2 button on the desk that just is Joshua Tree mode, and you're like, stuff happens. Yeah. Nobody needs to know what it is or how it works.
Yeah, but yeah. It's good. I'm really the trouble with me is I'm constantly writing new music and wanting to do new stuff, and so I'm ready to move on to the next album now, or the next one.
Yeah.
I've got two in mind that I want to do.
Yeah,
but I've got a tour planned for this new album. So we've got, you know, I'm saying it like it's a thing that I don't want to do, but we've got to do. Well, we've got a 30-date tour for this one, but I'm really keen to play new music.
Yeah, you know? I totally get you. I'm like that. As soon as the album's recorded, I'm on to the next thing. I don't want to publicize it, you know? Onwards. Yeah. How do you get a 30-date UK tour? That is extremely impressive.
Well, basically, I'm consistent. That's all what it is. I'm consistent with emailing promoters and growing a database of gigs and promoters and stuff. I just do it every couple of weeks. Every couple of weeks I send out another email, or I hate social media. I hate it. I don't like it one bit, but I do it because I've kind of realized that I don't think there's any way of not getting gigs anymore without having a social media presence. And so I try and keep on top of that and post things, and I think it all helps. I think it's all connected. Yeah, but I just basically mither people more than everybody else mithers them.
Great. Good work, man. It's a fine balance there without like offending and getting blocked by everyone, you know?
I don't mind getting blocked. I don't mind getting blocked. It means that they've heard you. You know, like, you know,
you exist. Such a great way to look at it.
Well, you know, like, I understand the dilemma that there's too many musicians and not enough gigs.
That's very true.
You know, that is the case. And, but, you know, I've also found that lots of promoters, they're so strange about not getting back. Just a simple email of, I've got your thing, you don't need to mither me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I'll not mither them then. But because you were constantly up against this being ghosted by promoters, some won't. I've spoke to someone who said, oh, we never get back to people after the first couple of times. We wait another time and then we'll get back to them. I'm like, what? Why? You know, why?
Yeah.
You know, or the ones that say, yeah, you can have a gig. And then you say, great, when? And then they never get back to you, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of, a good friend of mine said to me, you've got to have a skin as thick as a rhino to kind of get your own gigs. And he's right, really. You can't take it personally. But then one will come through, a really good one, and it'll spur me on to keep going because I know it's the right thing.
Well, your social media is very impressive. Your Instagram account is huge.
Well, it's not that huge.
But I mean, you've got 4,300 followers. I have got like 28 or something, 40. I don't know. I don't even know how to see my own account here. Oh, there you go. followers, 269. That's taken me like a year of constant work.
It's hard going. It is hard going. I'm constantly thinking about when I should post things or what I should post, and I've nowhere near got it right. But the interesting thing about social media is as soon as you've got 10,000 followers on social media, like Instagram, for example, then Instagram thinks, oh, what you're doing is quite interesting to people, and shows it to more people.
Yeah.
So getting 20,000 is easier than getting 10,000.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That seems really backwards, doesn't it?
But I just think it's a thing. I think, you know, there's so many great musicians out there that don't play in front of people because they're not willing to do the extra thing, you know, of these little things that all help to get gigs. And I don't really want to be a bedroom musician. I like the idea of playing in front of people. And
yeah,
I just said to myself, if that's what I've got to do to, you know, to play music with people that I like, to people that like listening to it, then that's it. I'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if it means posting something every day or, yeah. Yeah, really. I also find it quite interesting, you know, interesting how things like that are evolving. You know, if you'd have said to someone 20 years ago, would you like to be able to get access to your audience instantly, you know, just on your phone or whatever?
Yeah.
I think they would have bit your arm off.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially as the little guy like me doing just gigs around the UK, it's an incredible tool. Yeah, interesting times.
It is
I've not really ventured onto the TikTok thing yet. I don't know whether I dare.
Yeah, I haven't. I've tried, but I just don't understand what to post. So I'm just like, no, cancel TikTok, get out of there. Alex Bone has a great social media account. I'll follow him just to see how to do it properly. He's a sax player. He's younger and smarter than me. So when your album came out on February the 3rd, The Boptical Illusion. Are you in the middle of the tour? When does the tour start?
Well, it starts, I don't know when you're putting this out.
Possibly at the end of March. We've got an insane backlog, so I'm trying to churn them out as fast as possible. But pretend like it's the end of March for me, just in case.
So, the tour starts at the beginning of March.
All right, okay.
Which is this week for us.
Yes.
And it's mainly 2 months.
Right,
with a bit towards the end, like we've got, I think the last one we've got is Buxton Festival, which is
amazing.
Sometime, and a couple like the Concord Club in June, you know, so a few others later on, but so it's mainly March and April. And I'm trying my best to get some gigs in Ireland. That's almost happening. I can't for the life of me get a gig in Scotland because I can't get two or more dates
right,
to line
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not for lack of trying either.
Yeah.
And then what I'd really like to do is every couple of years do another tour, but I'm going to keep on recording music. I just feel that it's something that makes me so happy to do, you know, writing tunes and recording. And I find it's nice to have that balance of doing my own thing and then playing for other people, you know.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I got into it, is because I just wanted to play music that I wanted to play. And I enjoy working for other people, but I find that it just makes me so much happier being able to do bits of everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, Gaz, thank you so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast. Let's finish with a listen to the title track, The Boptical Illusion. Before I press play, can you tell us a little bit about this track specifically?
Oh, let me think now. I get The Boptical Illusion and Sticks and Stones mixed up.
So they're both of your own music to you.
They're both contrafacts. Sticks and Stones and Boptical Illusion are both contrafacts.
Man, I love this album. It's got so much energy, so much life. Such a great vibe. It sounds so good.
That
what was that word you just used?
Contrafax.
Oh yeah, what's that?
So it's they're new heads over existing chord progressions.
Ah, wow.
So that's what all the jazzers did. So they got the royalties. So
yes.
I can't remember which way around it is, but Bebop's Collusion, Sticks and Stones, one of them's a rhythm changes and one of them's over confirmation.
I'm going to tell you which is, this is confirmation, I can tell instantly. No, wait, can I? No, I'm going to play this for the listeners. This must be a rhythm changes. 4-4-2-5-1, bridge. There it is. Dominant, 5. Oh yeah. This is incredible.
There you go.
Might just let it keep playing from there. Guys, this has been amazing. Thank you so much.